Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about an interesting subject that is fairly new to the networking world. Today, as our guests and our expertise is Jared Mills. Jared Mills comes from a local vendor in Houston, and he's the principal consultant of that vendor, AccuData. And we're really happy to have him on board because Jared has a really wealth of information about this subject and networking in general. Jared, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, David. Great to be here.
I'm going to turn it over to Jared, kind of give you so he can explain his background, and then we'll get into our subject, the future of networking and software-defined networking.
Perfect. Thanks. I guess the easiest way to start is never went to school for IT. Actually started off business undergrad, went to law school, practiced law for a couple of years. Quickly learned that I was not a great lawyer, but you know, excelled at IT. So I went from being an attorney to doing desktop support.
Wow.
Wife wasn't real thrilled with that career decision at all. The great thing about IT is you quickly learn that if you know, it's similar to law. You read a bunch of books, get a lot of certifications, you can move up very quickly.
Sure.
I've been doing this for approximately 20 years. Over the years, I've had 4 CCIEs, route switch, service provider, security, and the most recent being data center, which is where my focus is now.
Excellent. Well, I think that's going to lend to the expertise and the subject matter we have today for our members on this podcast. So today what we're going to be talking about is the future of networking. We're going to talk about specifically software-defined networks or networking, or SDN, as everybody calls it. When I was in Interop, the big buzzword was SDN. There were a lot of people I noticed in the audience, and there was hundreds of people in the audience, and the speaker said, "Does anybody know anything about SDN?" And less than 10% raised their hands. So obviously this is a very new technology, but I think from what I've read and researched, this is going to be mainstream in the years to come. So let's start with, Jared, why don't you tell everyone what SDN is?
Okay, well, at a high level, in a nutshell, SDN is the abstraction of the control plane from the data plane in your network switches today. It enables you to move this control plane, the higher level functionality, from the actual network devices.
Okay, so for layman terms, what is that separating the control plane? In other words, if I'm a network engineer, basically I don't have a partitioned device that I have to configure to do certain things on a switch environment using SDN, correct?
Absolutely. So you and I have been in this game for probably close to 20 years at
right.
least. Things haven't changed in that 20 years. Now, in order to make changes on a network, you have to go device to device and make changes to each device to impact traffic flows across your network. With SDN, you can move that functionality into a centralized controller and push changes to every device at the same time.
On the fly.
On the fly.
That's pretty awesome. I would say that in our current state of network technology, it's not sustainable. I mean, we're getting to where silicon is hard to get faster and faster and faster and faster. And I think that's probably one of the reasons you're seeing this direction. I'm guessing this is a huge paradigm shift for network engineers.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're used to being command line warriors. You hop on that device, you get on the command line, you make all these changes. With SDN, the average network engineer is really going to have to take a look in the mirror and go, you know, I need to really enhance my skill set and start looking at some of the new scripting languages that are going to be a requirement for SDN in the future.
What are some of those scripting languages?
I think the big ones right now, there's 3, Python, Chef, and Puppet.
Got you. Interesting. So SDN, from a topological standpoint, do you have to change your network when you migrate into SDN? Is it necessary to change it as you move into that arena?
Well, most of the existing hardware that you probably have installed in your network now is probably not OpenFlow compliant. It can be migrated in stages where you can, you know, you start in the core and work your way out towards the edges. Or, you know, you could have a full network deployment where you do OpenFlow on the new network and migrate to it.
Yeah.
But It will require new hardware.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's the one thing that firms and companies hate to do is to do forklift upgrades or so forth. But I think that the benefits are going to definitely outweigh the negativity on the forklift and ripping out and replacing. Another question, they say, well, why are we heading this way? Well, the two words I heard was cloud and virtualization. Is that true? Is that why this is being done?
Oh, that's absolutely true. When you look at the modern data center, and especially in cloud environments, you're seeing this huge sprawl in an east-west fashion with virtual servers and east-west traffic. And so you end up with these huge layer two domains that are just impossible for the average network engineering staff to manage and maintain.
Interesting. So let's talk a little bit about OpenFlow. There was a lot of talk about that at Interop as well. OpenFlow is the protocol, if I'm correct in saying that, for the SDN switching?
Absolutely. It is what allows that centralized controller to make control plane changes to the remote network devices over the network.
Gotcha. Interesting. So basically what you're saying is real-time programmability to networks. So we can say that a service provider that provides SDN, that can also lend over to the end user with the service provider to allow those applications to be those flows to happen and become more optimal, say, for certain applications?
Absolutely. With this correct software in place, the service provider can monitor their network real time, look for congestion or downlinks or things like that, and on the fly program network devices to add additional bandwidth, reroute traffic, and to really address customer needs in real time without having to, for the user having to call in and make a request.
That's the biggest pain that I've ever seen on our CSPs or communication service providers, is just making a small change requires a phone call, a ticket, and usually within an hour or two you have a change. So this could be mainly on the fly. Pick it up or request a change maybe online, it's done and away you go.
Absolutely, and with that software, once that urgent need is gone, that additional bandwidth that was added can be reclaimed.
Excellent, that is a good one. So the OpenFlow standard, let's talk a little bit about it. And basically, I think you described it in what SDN is going to be. So the OpenFlow standard allows, from what I understand, direct access to and manipulation of the forwarding plane of the network device of a switch and or a router, both physical and
virtual. Yes.
I think that's the interesting part of that piece right there, that it brings the physical and the virtual together.
Right, because one of the trends we've seen in the data center in the past few years is a huge trend towards virtualized appliances, virtualized switches, firewalls, load balancers, and other virtualized services that have moved strictly from hardware into the virtual space. And being able to control those as well as the physical devices is a huge benefit.
That's interesting, very interesting. So, on the open, I think it's the open, what is the, I think it's the OpenFlow standards body.
The Open Network Foundation?
Open Network Foundation. What I found interesting is it's not the typical vendor, the manufacturer on the board, it is the purchaser. So in your opinion, what do you think that does for the future of SDN?
SDN, for the big vendors, is a big wake-up call because, the people that are pushing this are the end users and some smaller startup companies. And the big players are only coming into the game because they realize their future is possibly at stake. Cisco Systems, for example, they make these huge proprietary switches with software on them that cost big bucks. With SDN, you can get any black box switch that supports the OpenFlow protocol, and you have all the functionality at a fraction of the cost.
So basically interoperability between manufacturers is a no-brainer anymore.
Absolutely.
That to me is where I think the big gotcha is today, is the proprietary nature of the physical switch or the physical environment. Where, for instance, in the Cisco realm, it's EIGRP, which is a great technology for the switch, But when you get beyond that, it's got to go to OSPF, a more standardized routing protocol rather than EIGRP.
Yeah, and for me, having been in the game a long time, the biggest fear you have is that, yeah, you know, the Ciscos and the Junipers of the world are going to join the SDN party, but will they change the OpenFlow standard to suit their needs as they've done in the past?
Probably. I've already heard talk of Cisco looking at what's called AIC.
ACI?
Excuse me, yes.
Application-Centric Infrastructure. Right. And they've recently released a new Nexus 9000 line and an Application Policy Infrastructure Controller, APIC for short, that while it maintains some compatibility with OpenFlow, I think there have been no real rollouts of it, so it's hard to say exactly whether, you know, other vendor soft switches and network devices will play well with it.
That's interesting. You know, that's kind of what happened in the old days with Cisco. Everybody played nice with the standards, and now Cisco says, well, we got a better way to do it, so on and so forth. So you're kind of stuck. So a couple things we'll go over here. Giving some tips to our audience about how to migrate to an SDN architecture. So the first one I have is have a clear vision. So that means know what SDN is and how it works, correct?
Absolutely, and how it can possibly benefit you.
Do you have to be concerned about your legacy infrastructure when you start moving that route, you know?
Absolutely, because I mean, I'm, as a consultant, I run into a lot of networks, and you'll see, you know, there's the occasional physical server or physical piece of hardware that's been there for 20 years. No one knows how it operates or how it even communicates, and they're scared to touch it.
Right.
So you definitely need to know how those things work.
And this architecture, SDN's really focused on the 40G, 100G speed?
I believe so. I mean, you can do it with 10 gig, but I mean, the data centers and the speeds that are required to support all these virtual machines and this east-west traffic is quickly moving towards 40 and 100 gig.
Yeah, we can definitely believe that our communication service providers are probably definitely 40 and 100 right off the get-go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So another one, the second one that I think is important, pilot and evaluate. I think those are two important things that you have to do before you move into this new technology.
Absolutely. We've all been bitten by patches and things like that that, you know, are supposedly been tested but have crashed your network. So yeah, having a clear vision and being able to pilot it is crucial to long-term success.
And obviously that goes along with training your network engineers, getting them to understand, obviously, the scripting language that you develop and how to develop scripts to do certain things in that switching environment.
Right, and you know, SDN is in its infancy, but the writing is definitely on the wall. So, you know, as a network engineer, I've already started working with Python and instructed the guys that work with me as well that, you know, for your long-term career stability, you definitely should learn scripting.
Excellent advice. I think it's kind of a parallel to, as we discussed earlier, about where the old telecom guys were with POTS lines and PRIs, and now we're doing SIP and VOIP. There was a huge gap in the training of that evolution as well.
A perfect analogy.
Yeah. I think the third thing, evaluate the impact of SDN on your organization. Do you think that we're going to need to create cross-functional teams when it comes to server, storage, and networking?
Absolutely. I'm seeing that as a consultant now. I've built a team of data center consultants, and the days of having, you know, specialized guys that, hey, I'm your storage guy, I'm your server guy, those days are over. You know, the people I'm looking for are well-rounded, who understand how networking and servers and storage all fit together in the big scheme of things.
So that I can safely say that the network engineer needs to start migrating this way for server storage, and the server storage needs to start migrating to the network arena.
Perfect.
How about customization, skill sets?
Yeah. From a network standpoint, skill set is going to be crucial. Not only from the network side, you're going to need to understand scripting. You're also going to need to understand the OSI 7-layer model from beginning to end, not necessarily just for, you know, I've always said, hey, layer 4 is where I stop.
Right. Now it's layer 4 all the way to layer 7.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the benefits of SDN. It takes advantage of that, going to the top of the OSI model and allowing security within those layers as well, which is a big, big deal now with applications, especially a layer 7.
Yeah.
So let's talk about a specific use case. For example, the use case could be reducing the time to provision network security. Is that a benefit with SDN?
Oh, absolutely. You know, some of the others, I mean, when you start looking at OpenFlow and OpenStack and the cloud model, SDN works perfectly with that. It's the networking side of things is lagged behind. You know, the last 10 years we spent virtualizing all of our servers and storage. The way we provision networking has not changed. And in a cloud environment, one of the things you do is, you know, I can design and build a cloud with a portal where you go, you click on a few buttons, and within 15 minutes you can provision a virtual machine and storage. The missing piece there is the automated provisioning of your network. With SDN, that can all be bundled into one portal, one pane of glass, to where, you know, 15 minutes you provisioned a new network to support your new VM and your new storage.
That is awesome, because that's one of the things that I currently experience. As the director of infrastructure here, I have to get each individual involved in a cloud, you know, spinning up a cloud server. He spins up the server. Okay, now what are we doing? Does it need QoS? What is it riding over? Is it riding over dedicated, point to points, you know, those kind of things. So bringing it all together, again, is going to require skill sets from certain individuals to make it all happen from A to Z once you do that. Also, the quality of service guarantees, I think that's going to be a benefit across private WANs as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. You can, and you know, you can build in real-time monitoring to make sure that those SLAs are met. And it, you know, and if you start experiencing issues, auto-provision bandwidth to meet that.
That's pretty interesting. That's really good. So the potential impact of SDN on your operational costs, obviously these things are expensive right now.
Absolutely. And you know, I think I would caution anyone moving too quick into the SDN arena.
Would you also recommend strong management tools as well?
Absolutely. The more you abstract functionality into one central controller, the harder it is to troubleshoot and identify issues. So a strong management platform is crucial.
So support from legacy networks. Do you think OpenFlow or the standards body is going to consider down the road legacy integration into, in other words, migrating into SDN? We're not going to typically you don't see, let's rip it all out and put it all in. So do you think they're going to support legacy networks?
I think it for the long-term success of SDN, I think it's a requirement.
So, in business value terms, do you think down the road that SDN is going to overall reduce your costs?
It definitely has that potential. I think you're looking at fewer costs from a hardware standpoint. One of the dangers for me is that you could potentially have fewer headcount needed to support your network. You know, if you've got a centralized controller, and especially in a cloud environment that can auto-provision everything, you don't necessarily need dedicated headcount for each of those positions anymore.
Right. Well, that's interesting. So you can actually reduce your costs, but obviously there's a price to pay up front.
Right.
So security. Let's talk a little bit how it's going to improve security, in your opinion.
Security is going to be the big one. Once you start looking at the network as a whole, and you can, you know, and you have a view into every device simultaneously, and are looking at real time, you know, the ability to see real time intrusions or real time vulnerabilities across your network and to adapt is huge. Right now, I mean, security is always, you know, first put on the edge, but you know, being able to potentially provision security across the entire network is a big benefit.
So standard support, obviously we know the standard or the protocol, which is OpenFlow. Do you think they're going to have a support a wide range of industry standards based on this SDN, or it's going to proliferate into more and more standards within the open body?
Absolutely. I mean, OpenFlow is part of OpenStack, which you know brings in, you start looking at servers and you start looking at the compute environments. So I think ultimately you'll see an open architecture. It encompasses all of it.
So the possibility going forward, and let's talk VMware a little bit, because there's a lot of VMware shops. So VMware, I can provision my storage, my server, and my network all in one single pane of glass. That's basically what we're doing.
Yeah. And especially, I mean, and VMware's already rolled out their SDN product at NSX.
That's true, yes.
From the Nicira startup that they purchased.
So we talked about layer 4 through 7 support. So that's going to include server load balancing, WAN optimization.
All of those things.
Yeah, it sounds pretty awesome from a single pane of glass. I've never could comprehend having that be that way, because I'm usually going to one guy saying, you need to do this. I need this many NICs on this virtual switch doing this, that, and the other. So I think that's going to be awesome. And then the last one, application ecosystem. So basically what this is doing is creating an open environment for applications, where a lot of players believe that open is the best way to go. It gives you the ability to customize whatever you want to do.
Absolutely. And beyond that, you can roll out overlay networks. You know, let's say I've got this critical application in my law firm that, you know, no matter what, I need it running quickly, I need it secure. You can deploy with SDN an entirely separate overlay network that only supports that application, and the only traffic on that network would be that application.
Man, I can't wait to see this in action. Is there any final things or comments you want to make, Jared, about SDN and OpenFlow, in your opinion, looking down the crystal ball?
That's a very hard one. I'm very excited about SDN. I think, you know, it's the future, you know, is definitely not clear with it. All of the products promised, if they actually live up to the promise, will be great. Hopefully the vendors won't stray too far from the standards, so we'll have, you know, in-game true interoperability between all of the network devices, and we're not forced to choose between vendors moving forward.
I think a lot of people would probably like to hear that, vendor agnostic. I think that's something that's been long overdue. Well, I think that concludes our podcast today. I appreciate Jared, and thank you very much for your insight and expertise on this matter.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. It was a blast.